A radio show about the European Digital Art and Science Network.
In today's show of Ars Radio, I'm in conversation with Daniel Leitinger from the Tangible Media Group, an interdisciplinary research factory at MIT Media Lab in Cambridge, USA. He will give us an insight into the work of his team and talk about the ongoing collaboration with Ars Electronica. He will explain visions for the future of human-material interactions and future ways of communication.
May you introduce yourself?
So I'm Daniel Leitinger, and I'm actually from Upper Austria originally, born in Eberstadt-Zell, close to Linz, and studied here in Hagenberg. And then in 2008, I moved to the United States for grad school. I've been at the MIT Media Lab for 7 years from then onwards, so 2008 to 2015. And after my graduation now, I'm a research affiliate with the group, and I'm gonna start a professorship in Colorado next year in January. And for the last few years, we've been working on tangible interfaces. So the MIT Media Lab is one of the larger departments at MIT, has a number of different research groups, and the one that I am part of is called the Tangible Media Group. So we make computer interfaces that you can touch and directly interact with.
During the festival, the exhibition Radical Atoms is taking place. How did this idea for this exhibition arose?
So the concept of radical atoms is a vision. It's kind of a guiding principle for our work. The original idea of the Tangible Media Group was to say we want to have computer interfaces that are more tangible than the traditional graphical user interfaces that you have. You know, when you have a mobile phone, all you do is you touch the screen, but we actually want to be able to touch data. So tangible user interfaces started in the 90s, were all about sensing objects, connecting data with real objects and real environments. And what we realized is that there is a point where just sensing is not enough. You have to also be able to transform objects, because data is dynamic, and so the interfaces, the objects that we use to interact with data, also have to be dynamic. So radical atoms is about a future interface, a hypothetical future interface, where atoms in the real world can be programmed as easily as pixels on a computer screen. That could be, say, a desk that transforms into a completely different shape in the blink of an eye, as easily as it could in a computer animation right now, but in the real world. So that's kind of the idea behind radical atoms. Now, of course, we don't have any material like that, and we probably won't have for the next couple of hundred years, but it's something that we're thinking about that is kind of guiding all the projects we make. The idea, the vision behind radical atoms is having a material that is as easy to program as pixels are on a computer screen today. So that could mean physical objects, anything you have in your hand. Your mobile phone transforms from a block into a watch, into a completely different shape that may wrap around your head. And it can do so programmatically. And while that's not possible right now, and probably won't be for a while to come, to actually build like this perfect programmable material, it guides our current research in building materials that can transform. And so a lot of things that you'll see in the museum are about these building blocks, programmable materials, a lot of them digitally fabricated in order to make transforming interfaces.
During this exhibition, there are three new materials presented. Mm-hmm. Can you explain them mm-hmm. to us?
So these three materials have all been created with digital fabrication methods, so 3D printers or CNC sealing machines. And what's unique about them is that they're materials that are not only, you know, usually when you 3D print something, you create a three-dimensional shape. With these materials, they all have the ability to transform. So Aeromorph, which is one of the interfaces where we have a couple of new prototypes now, is has a printed structure inside of a vacuum bag. And when you apply, when you change the pressure to that bag, you can actually control how that structure will transform. And we can kind of pre-program that transformation into the structure by printing various different patterns. So the other one, Celia, is actually printing hair-like structures on the surface of objects. So think you can 3D print an object that has fur on it. Now, what's interesting about the fur is, of course, it's nice to touch, but it also has functional properties. So you could, for instance, print these little fur bristles on your cell phone, and when it vibrates, it will actually start to move around on the table, and we can program how it moves around on the table by programming the direction of the fur bristles in order to control how they react. And they can also attach and detach from each other. So fur has a lot of very interesting properties, and by controlling how we print that fur precisely, we can actually give objects really interesting reactive behavior. And let me think, what was the third project actually?
Kinetics.
The kinetics. I was like. So I also have to add that all of these projects were done by my wonderful colleague Chi-Fei Wu and a whole group of researchers. I actually wasn't part of these, so I'm just talking about them. but I'm a big fan and kind of part of the bigger research theme. The interesting part with kinetics is there are structures that are printed that are combined. They're of a hard and soft material, and they have joints that also will control. So there's soft joints built into the material that will control how it transforms, and you can get very interesting, intricate curvatures and other transformations out of seemingly simple flat materials. And we really think those are microstructures that you could build into things like clothing, furniture, other objects, as said, computer input devices that would really like drastically change their shape through these programmable hinge structures, and we can predefine before we fabricate. So that's really something that is only possible because of digital fabrication technologies that weren't really available in a few years ago even.
Why do you think that it's very important to create new materials?
So that kind of goes back to that bigger theme of radical atoms. We think that right now the problem is that everything that is on a computer screen is very easy to program. Everything else is very hard to program. And that's kind of why computer interface designers get a little lazy. If you look at the object that we interact with most every day, our cell phone, it's essentially just a black box that is meant to hold the screen, right? It's really designed around the screen, and everything that we do kind of happens on that screen, besides like a few maybe like tiny buttons and the charging port. But our hands are really, and our bodies are really not meant to interact with such a limited flat surface. We as human beings have such intricate, amazing capabilities, not only of, you know, exploring the world with our hands, with our bodies, but also interacting with it with amazing fine motor skills, and also thinking with our bodies. So there is a lot of interesting research on how, as we explore the world, it transforms how we think about it and how we deal with even abstract concepts. So we think by reducing everything to like pixels on a computer screen, we lose pretty much a lot of that. Now, if we want to make data physical instead, so we can actually touch it, can touch information, then the physical objects that we touch actually have to have this dynamic fluidity that data has, just like pixels do. You know, you can easily show anything on a computer screen, switch between 100 different applications. What would a physical object that I can touch, that I can hold in my hand, look like if it can switch to represent 100 different data streams or applications? And that's kind of where we think this new material research is really important.
The Tangible Media Group chose to work with Inform. Would you describe the principle of Inform?
So Inform is really the project I've been working most on for the last couple of years of doing my PhD at the Tangible Media Group, together with very good colleagues of mine, like Sean Fulmer. And it is kind of one of these glimpses of what we think this transformable future of radical atoms could enable. So what it is it's a table, and it has hundreds of pins, plastic pins that come out of the table and can form a relief surface. So you suddenly can program, send a three-dimensional object to the table, and that object will be physically rendered on the table. And then you can start to, touch it, deform it, change it around, really interact with that data with your hands. Now, relief is, of course, right now not really based on these future materials that we're working on, because those are still very hard to use and control. What we do is we use hundreds of motors to actually move those pins. But what it allows us to do is kind of prototype what would it mean to have a future where our computer interfaces are actually transformable, are actually moving and changing. So it's really a computer display that is able to not only show color, but also show shape or render physical shapes. Now, one application that we've worked with that we think worked out really well and we got very good response at was the idea to have a physical version of Skype. So rather than only being able to see a person on a computer screen, that person is actually able to reach out of the computer screen and, for instance, move an object around on a table. And we think that will really change how people collaborate in the future. So if I want to show you an object and you're, hundreds of kilometers away from me, I can just put that object on the table in front of me. The same object will be rendered. Right now, Inform renders it at a very low resolution, but in the future, we think that's going to be very high. It will render it on your side. You'll be able to see that object. You'll be able to move it around. And you can even reach out of the screen and, for instance, move an object on my table as well. So it really is something where suddenly we have a connection that goes beyond just, pictures and words, which we think is not enough to really be able to collaborate with each other effectively, to really have a connection over a distance. So it's one small step of how we think in the future these dynamic transforming interfaces could bring people closer together. One interesting thing about Inform is you'll actually be able to go to the Ars Electronica Center, the museum. It's going to be installed there for the next year. And you can try it out yourself, that video conferencing application that we talked about. The way it works right now is there's a table next to the Inform system. And whatever you put on that table, there'll be a physical copy of it next to it on the Inform interface. So that means if you put your hands there and you move your hands around, the pins of Inform will move up and down to actually physically render the shape of your hands. And then we have a little sphere on Inform that you can then move around physically in order to show the capabilities that you suddenly have when you have a virtual robot version of yourself that is in a different location. So that's one of the primary ideas of Inform right now, or one of the examples. We actually have quite a few of other ones as well, where we show how you could use it for 3D modeling or to render abstract data, for instance, mathematical equations that you can then physically see as a surface and in that way understand better things like differential equations. You can kind of explore physically by playing around with the shape rather than only seeing a formula. So we think it's a very visceral, direct connection with data when it becomes physical like that. But I said, like, for us, what was nice about Inform is really it's one of these interfaces that just allows us to prototype what the future could look like if the objects around us were not just static, rigid objects, but were actually able to, like, keep changing their shape and be computationally controlled. So we really think that's kind of, Inform is showing what's possible and allows us to prototype, of course with a very low resolution and certain limitations, that's without a question, but it kind of, like, guides us into what types of material we want to develop in order to make such interfaces possible in the future and really, like, turn them into something that you will have in your pocket instead of your current, you know, black little box that is a cell phone.
So it's a very sensorial way of communication in the future, no?
That's absolutely correct. Mm. We definitely think that that's, or we hope that that's going to be the future that we're going to experience. One that is less, purely based on your eyes and more on really experiencing with your whole body. Because the interesting part is that, every medium that we use has very unique qualities on how we use it, how we experience the content on that medium. I mean, that's something that, you know, since Marshall McLuhan and many other theorists before him has been discussed a lot, but it's really something that a lot of us experience just now as we've, you know, moved from say, your old flip phone to your smartphone, that we really, like, use information, consume information completely different, and our life has been transformed through it. Like, we experience breaks different than we used to, you know? Now we kind of have constant, instant-on communication on many different channels. We experience politics different. We really, it has transformed how our society functions on many levels. And that's because of the technology in our pockets. Now, it's really interesting to think about how that would change if that technology changes.
Yes.
And so that's kind of what we're exploring and working towards.
How does art and science flow together in your personal work?
So for us, this question is a really important one, this connection between art and science, because they're linked in a way that is inseparable in our work. We deal, as I said earlier, with questions that are not only about technology, but really how that technology will change and impact our lives and our relationships with each other. We're quite convinced of that. And we think that only art is able to address these questions. You can't just look at them from a technological perspective only, or from a, say, scientific perspective. And so for us, it's one of those things of just having an idea, building it in your lab is not enough. You really have to expose that idea to a wider audience and to get a critical perspective on it. And that's why we are at Ars Electronica. We really think that that's a venue where you get exactly that type of feedback. You put your art out there, the art breaks very often because there's some problem, or you get extremely different feedback on it. Some people get inspired by it, give you very new ideas, others hate it and are very critical of it. And both these are very important. It's something you would never get just in a research lab. Also, of course, for us, extremely important is just the interaction with all the other artists here. That's really where a lot of our inspiration comes from. This idea of not working in a vacuum, and really getting the critical input that artists provide. So for us, it's been an immensely fruitful collaboration in the last couple of years, and that's why we're so happy that the Radical Atoms exhibit is in the museum again. Kind of as a follow-up to the original tangible media exhibit that was in the museum back from 2002 onwards for a few years. It's also, I mean, for me personally, it's a very important connection, because that's really where I first encountered the Tangible Media Group when I was a student in Austria, coming to the Ars Electronica Center and seeing the Tangible Media Group's projects there, where I really got convinced that this is a direction that I want to go in. So in that sense, it's also an important outreach that I can attest works quite well.
Why did you want to go in this direction in your life? What was the most interesting or exciting about it?
Just this idea of actually being able to shape the future or propose how the future might change. I think it's very easy to be cynical about the future because we all have a lot of fears and anxieties related to so many of the pressing questions on the planet. But one thing I think is for certain, and that's computers and how we use computers as tools are the most important factor in how we deal with the future, because there's a level of complexity that we can't handle as humans without computers anymore. That I think is irreversible. I'm very convinced of that. So really, if we change how we use computers, how we interact with data, that really means that maybe we have a shot at shaping how our future looks like. And of course, we have no idea, but we can make proposals for the future. Say we have certain ideas that we think should change and should humanize technology more than the current computer interfaces, for instance. Mm. So that's what gets me excited. As said, that kind of comes back again to being at Ars Electronica and just being able to really be with other people that have a very similar ideas, you know, thinking about what could we do? Is there actually an agency for me to try and change the future? So
that's very interesting that you're saying this. It reminds me also on Nietzsche when he was saying that the artist at least creates a picture of how the future can look like. And I think it's social, political, valuable, I think, because you really create the future.
It's interesting. I've never thought about it as a political work. There's definitely a social context, but I do think that, I mean, we have no clue what the future will look like. We can make some educated guesses. But I do think that we have the chance to propose different futures, and we that is something that each one of us can do, to envision what is the world that we want to live in, how do we want to interact with each other, with society, and with all the data that is available, and that's what I like so much about interface work as well, like building computer interfaces. It's really, you can think about it on so many different levels. You know, there's a technological level where you say, I invent something that is necessary to build a computer interface. You can think on a very personal, artistic level and say, this is what matters to me and I'm going to build something around it. And, you know, since it deals with humans, it will always deal with things like with our society, with politics. Mm-hmm. So.
There's one philosopher, his name is Jacques Rancière. He was saying that politics for him is the way of making something
sensually visible.
You are maybe in this sense a politician.
That's interesting. I have to admit, I wasn't aware of that definition. And of course, I mean, I don't think that our work makes many political statements. We usually really try and focus on the experience and also on the utility of the works we built. But it's a really interesting thought. I have to admit that I haven't heard that before. It's quite beautiful.
And because you're making something visible, you make it possible for people to imagine. Before, it's not visible, it's not imaginable. You show a possibility, and that's why it becomes real and it becomes reality.
And I think one big difference from, say, something like a science fiction movie is that this work is not only showing the possibility, it's really we're building an actual prototype, and then often find out that the ideas we have are not that great, for instance, that they need to change, or that there's something that we haven't thought about before we actually built it. So I think that's a very interesting distinction to many other works, and maybe to politics as well. Just this idea that there always has to be a physical artifact. When we talk about our tangible interfaces, we have to build a project that we can then put into the public, that we can test and evaluate, and that can be critiqued on that level, on that physical level. So that is what excites me about this work, also because it just encompasses so many different aspects.
During the festival, the Radical Atom Symposium took mm-hmm. place. How did you experience it? Can you summarize it?
So what I think was really interesting is for one, how many different perspectives people brought to the symposium. And that is really something that, you know, we had, for instance, Christa Sommerer was speaking. She's a professor here at the Art University in Linz, and had just such a wonderful way of talking about how we deal with nature and how we can experience it through artistic exploration, which was completely different from some of the technological work that was shown, that always had, you know, all of the work in the symposium had a technological component. But it was just this, to me, this extremely inspiring to see how all of us have a different approach to, you know, proposing how the future could look like, but in a way how still all these pieces seem to, in the end, kind of fit together, even though there's a lot of disagreement on, like, radical atoms as such. As said, it's a very open-ended theme because it's a hypothetical. It's more of an idea rather than a concrete technology. So it's a container. It's a container for ideas and kind of an idea you can then take this container and kind of strive forward towards these ideas or explore them. It's just to be able to see that there's work happening both on an artistic conceptual level and on a hardcore technological exploration. There were a couple of projects discussed in the symposium about making mid-air graphics, about making floating objects, that about using fabrication to build new types of robots that were just incredible and inspiring and mind-blowing. And as said again, like, I think it kind of like gives you a taste of how some of us think the future what we should strive for in the future, maybe what we could go towards, what direction, and be able to critique that and say I want to make a counter proposal, for instance. I also was just really, I mean, there was a certain type of optimism. We had a future space explorer on the symposium who was talking about how she experiences diving and now preparing for a space trip, and using technology to really augment her body in that way. That's to me is just like such a different, beautiful perspective.
Thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you so much.
a radio show about the European Digital Art and Science Network.